This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
Lou Vinley,
Bruce Markwell,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Lou, as well as street band that we have been talking about, you've been involved with Grey Power and Age Concern.
Yes, well, I started off with Age Concern, helping them with their accounts. But I left there and...
Well, first of all, what is Age Concern?
Age Concern is Age Concern does things such as... elder abuse and that sort of thing.
It's a lobby group?
No. Age Concern is a support group funded by the government.
Okay.
Grey Power is a lobby group with no funding whatsoever. They self-fund.
Oh, okay. So are they sort of separate organisations?
They support one another, but Grey Power is an advocacy group that goes to Parliament and regularly has probably monthly meetings with ministers and doing all that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because to be for charitable status, you're not allowed to be a political lobby group, is that right?
That's right. And Grey Power is not a charitable organisation.
Okay.
It's just a standalone, independent organisation.
Okay. So what does Age Concern... Age Concern is a charity that helps people.
Yes.
How does it help people?
Well, it does things like age, elder abuse, visiting, helping with driving licences and stuff like that.
So you say it does elder abuse.
Yes.
What?
Well, if you have an elder abuse case, Age Concern get involved.
Okay.
You know, the police would bring in Age Concern.
Oh, okay. To help those people.
Yeah, they have a contract with the government looking after.
So you're giving what? Emotional support? Support through the institution?
They have a counsellor. They have a trained counsellor working with them.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have. It's been well over 20 years and I've been involved with Age Concern.
Okay.
So I've gone over the other side to the Grey Power, the advocacy side of things.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I'm really involved in.
Yeah. So what are the issues?
Oh, the issues at the moment, where do I start? Okay, level of super is one of the things. There are major problems happening around New Zealand, and it's starting to get worse. Older people who do not own their own properties, who are on super, who have to pay sometimes exorbitant rents in homes that they've lived in all their lives, and they can't afford it anymore. And emotionally, that's affecting an awful lot of people.
Okay, so...
Luke, if I could just interrupt. Yeah. You say they don't own their own homes.
Yes.
Who owns the homes? Are they private?
Landlords.
Landlords, could be city, not government or council.
Could be government, council, landlords, housing corp, etc.
It could be all of those ones can be controlled. The private funded ones.
The private ones can't.
No.
That's where the problem is.
And that's not all of them, you say, if you're taking those government ones out.
Yeah.
Or local authority.
But it's still a pretty major problem.
Are these people who have always rented, or just they owned a home and then in old age they sold the home?
Every other reason you can imagine.
Yeah.
For example, there are a lot of people today that are renting homes got caught in the 80s with the Ariandely and all those sort of... They lost all their savings. They lost everything, you know. Hmm. And they did. They lost everything. And to survive, they sort of... They never got back home again. Some did. Yeah. Some didn't.
Yeah. So if Murray's breakup would have had a
that's another thing. Broken marriages. Being swindled by people. The amount of kids that have put parents into bankruptcy because they use their money. And all these are cases, you know. And a couple that came from Zimbabwe were kicked out of Zimbabwe with a suitcase each.
Yeah.
They had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and they were in their 50s when they arrived here. It was just too late to restart again in their life. And he's just died, actually, and they were in the Papio place, but they couldn't get in the Papio place for quite a while because, like, at the moment, I think it's 400 waiting list.
Okay. Papio place is
the one in
Papio Park.
Papio Park. Yeah.
So what? But what? This council, is special council housing. Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Well, the waiting list is huge.
Okay. So, and this is partly because of a shortage in council or state.
Shortage of 1 and 2 bedroom houses across the country.
Yeah.
Cause we don't build 1 and 2 houses, 2 bedroom houses. Mm. And you know, you get a couple that have rented a house, you know, from Housing Corp, a 4-bedroom house from Housing Corp, and they've had 3 or 4 kids, and they bring their family up, and they've established a garden and everything else, and the kids all leave, and the husband dies, and the wife is left there in the house by herself.
Hmm.
It's very, quite a big thing for her to be able to maintain that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, she might be willing to go into social housing, but how does she get into social housing? The waiting list so long. So she's stuck in this 4-bedroom home where Housing Corp's trying to get her out of the 4-bedroom home and do a 1 and 2-bedroom unit.
Yeah.
But there aren't any.
But the policy shift, at one stage there was an idea of a lot of state housing, and then they moved to the economy. They said, well, we're helping those people in state housing, but those who can't get in that are then having to pay the market. That's why they shifted to the accommodation supplement.
Mm-hmm.
So that has failed to work to make it affordable for them?
The accommodation supplement only comes to a certain level.
Yeah.
Like the government's paying, I think, almost $1,000 a week in some of these motel units to keep someone in a motel unit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet an elderly lady who's in her family home, which she's renting from the Housing Corp, still going to pay $300 a week from her super, which is going to be what, about 600? So half of her super.
Yeah, it should be getting a accommodation.
Yeah, but still, it's only $45 a week.
Yeah.
You know, you work it out. You're paying $300 a week rent. You're getting $600. Half your money's gone on rent, right? You get an extra $45 on top of it. You got food to buy.
Yeah.
You got to pay a doctor's bill. Have you been to the doctor lately?
Mm.
It doesn't take much. It's quite hard.
Mm. Mm.
But the big difference is the people who are blessed with having their own home.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to. They still got pay rates, which is, you know, $100 a fortnight.
Mm.
Probably $120 a fortnight. But it's not the same as rent, eh?
Mm.
Mm. You know? I just take another little tack here.
So yeah.
If you walk around the town, there are a lot of empty houses as well.
That's right.
Now, they're probably all privately owned, and people are doing what they call land banking, probably.
Yeah. Absentee landlords.
But if there could be something put in place where these people could not just sit on a house that's already there and empty for a long, long period of time.
How are you going to do that?
Yes, I know. But, you know, we talk about a housing shortage. I'm sure that if these places were
I forget the figure.
People were forced to have to do something with them or dispose of them.
Yep.
Then I think you would
lower
the availability, if you like.
And also lower the price of the house too. But I forget the figure, but there are thousands of houses in Auckland sitting empty, owned by overseas owners. You know, and some of them are absolute mansions, and they just sit empty, deteriorating, and, you know, some of those are quite flat houses. And, but, like, remember when the Housing Corp sold off a lot of their houses in Auckland, and anything with a sea view or a beach view went from, everyone thought, why are they going so high? But now look at them, they're worth millions. And the land, it's not so much land banking, but the investors, a lot of people now, not a lot, but I know some landlords that are trying to get out of it, so they've got empty houses, but they're waiting for them, you know, they don't want to flood the market, so they put out 1 or 2 and trying to sell out. Well, I know one is doing that. had some bad tenants, and they. And that's another thing too. You get an older person who's done a little bit of investing, bought a house of their own, and you know, saved a bit, and maybe bought an investment house. You put the wrong tenants in there, can absolutely break them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
Had a friend who had a meth lab put in one of his house, and it cost him $75,000. $75,000 to clean that house up. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't have huge savings, what are you going to do that?
Yeah, it's tricky. There's no sibling. Yeah. It's not all the problems are one side.
But yeah, so a lot of older people get caught on those sort of things.
So then with the sort of issues you're dealing with, there's some people who have to rent.
Yeah.
And probably, I suppose, there was the idea at one stage you can rely on superannuation, and so people weren't saving. I know in some areas there wasn't the culture to save, but now we've got KiwiSaver. So is this something that... You roll it forward another 20-odd years and the elderly will be better served.
Okay, I'm going to pull you up on that. People were saving on super. When I first started work, I got a piece of a yellow tax form from the boss. And it said at the bottom of that, 1.25% of your tax goes to your guaranteed retirement income.
Hmm.
They were saving right from back in there, and that's in the 60s.
Hmm.
So they were saving for their retirement. Maybe the governments took all that money away and spent it, but the money was there.
But it was never held in an individual's name.
No, it was it was a pool of money.
Pool of money.
Yeah.
But then how much that would have given compared to what's actually paid out now, we don't know. But it's certainly not in the straight basic super is not enough for a lot of people because they haven't got other saving.
Yeah. No, you need. Yeah.
But now with KiwiSaver, some are using that to buy homes or for...
That's not older people. Older people don't have KiwiSaver.
But that's what I mean. You roll it forward another 20, 30 years, you might not have the problem. It may be a generational issue. Yeah.
I don't know if you go back to, was it the 60s or 70s, when Rob Muldoon and Rollings had the election. Remember the Dancing Cossacks? And Labor had a superannuation scheme, and if they had gone through, we would have been one of the so wealthy of this country.
Wow.
But it didn't.
Well, I was surprised coming here from Britain in the late 70s, and there they had there's very much the idea, you know, accepting the pension is like sort of charity, and you shouldn't do that. You should have provided for yourself. And it was much less than than the superannuation here. And they even had, Field Marshal Montgomery, when he was there lining up to get his pension as a signal to ex-servicemen that don't be ashamed of this, it's your entitlement.
Yeah.
And I came here and instead there were people working to pay large amounts of super while retired people were using it to go on overseas trips and feeling it was their entitlement. A very different psychological perception.
In a way, that's what started Grey Bear off. Jenny Shipley was the Minister of Finance and she brought in the surcharge. And the superannuation organisation in New Zealand was pretty weak then, but they tried to argue with it. And there was a group of people in Auckland and then in Palmerston North and a couple of other places stood up to Jenny Shipley and says, no, you're not going to put the surcharge on. And Don Robinson here in Palmerston North, there's a picture of him with his finger right beside Jenny Shipley's nose saying, you will not put it up. Well, you're right. It didn't take the government long to sort out how many older people vote.
Yeah, the surcharge was essentially an income-related tax on the superannuation.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
But the argument was that we'd already paid for it, so how dare you charge us the next set of tax on it?
Mm.
It's a tax on a tax on a tax, basically, you know. So you know, the Grey Power won that, and that's how Grey Power got formed. And we just had we got really involved with the aged care commissioner, and we've won that. We've got an aged care commissioner, not quite what we want, but we'll change it around a bit. It's going to be used for people looking after people in the homes, I think. We've fought with that. We fought with the students.
With the students?
Yes.
About what?
What was it? This goes back a few years. We joined with the students with the... I'd have to have a look to find out what it is.
Was it about sort of the subsidised education or something?
Yeah, it was something to do back then. Yeah. And it was student loans. It was interest on student loans.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you supported the students, yes. You meant, and, yeah. And saying they didn't want...
Well, we advocated on their behalf too as well.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. Hmm. And one of the questions was, why were you advocating on the students' part? Well, some students are over 60, you know.
Hmm.
You know, we've got students over 60 that are lifetime...
Well, it nervous. Wasn't that you felt you should support them because their taxes are going to pay your super?
They were supporting them.
So what? It's not... Where's the... There was a sort of cross-generational understanding. You know, you support yeah. young people and help them to
right.
to build careers, and they will support yeah. old people in their old age.
And, like, one of the things we got forced the issue to was getting security doors put on social housing.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big battle that our great power fought through.
Well is grey power received? Does it seem like a lot of... There's talk about pale, male and stale. What are these people doing? Does that apply to grey power as well?
It's an organisation you don't hear a lot about.
No, it's not.
Is there a reason for that? Do you not go out to headlines to give you some
We don't really want to upset the people. We want to be able to advocate on behalf of people.
Sure, but yeah. You know, unless you get more people involved... You're not going to know the grassroots and what is really required.
That's
what
people are looking one of the for. Biggest problems we have.
Hmm.
People say, "Well, what did Grey Power do?" Then when I bring out the list, and we've got a list that a PowerPoint that we give out to all these associations, and there's 180 something things that Grey Power has been involved with that's changed legislation in the country.
Hmm.
You know, we've got to be able to talk to the legislators. And be able to have their respect. And, for example, there was one of our presidents, there were some senior members of parliament back then would not even talk to him because he was so bolshy and so we just lost ground. So to be an effective advocate, you've got to be able to talk to people. But Jan, who is our first woman president, the one here at the moment, is doing a brilliant job. She's been more in the paper and the newspapers from the ages. If you had a look at the, what's that one on Sunday morning on TV?
Q&A.
Q&A. A couple of weeks ago, we had David, our superannuation spokesman, was down there, and he did extremely well. And what we're doing, we've got the prison board has got a lot of expertise in different fields. And under previous presidents, there wasn't much chance for those people to get involved. But under Jan, she wants them to get involved and be out there as a spokesperson. Like we got Joe, who's an expert on health, and she's very, very good.
Wow.
So we're starting to get more, you'll see more of us in the paper than you have before. Yeah.
Now, one aspect of groups and lobbying, it's a matter of the less direct influence you have, the more you have to be protesting and demonstrations and so on. If one aspect of grey power not having a very high profile, does that mean that you're actually very influential under the radar?
Yeah, squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
We're just a squeaky wheel. As I say, we go to Parliament once a month and we have appointments with ministers and we discuss things with the ministers.
Mm-hmm.
The Minister of Senior Citizens talks to Jan on a monthly basis.
Mm.
You know, and we've got 50-odd thousand members, so it's not a small organisation.
Hmm.
We've got 30-something associations across the country.
Yeah. So and, what are the key policy issues at the moment?
For us?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we just talked about that this week, actually. One of the things we still have to take care of is the Aged Care Commissioner. We think we've actually missed the boat a little bit. We're trying to also look at housing, we talked about before, for older people. Healthcare and we're in a bit of a tricky situation with healthcare, particularly over COVID, because there are some people either end, most of us are in the middle, you know, we'll get our jabs, but We can't go and say it's Grey Power's policy that everyone should get jabbed, because there's a group of Grey Power people who don't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard. You're on a tightrope. So, but everybody on the board's been double jabbed. Mm-hmm. And so that can be awkward. The other thing we are working with the government at the moment is on super, and the percentage of super. The moment we get 66% on net, and the way it was originally worded, it should be 66% on gross.
Mm.
But the government's not very open. We're working on that hard. Mm. Transportation is another thing. But the one thing, it's a little thing, but it's causing more hassles than anything else. Identification. If you don't have a passport and you've lost your license, what do you have for ID?
Mm.
We want the gold card to be an official ID.
Okay.
Yeah. Put a picture on it. It's issued by the government. Why can it not be an official ID? You go to the bank, they will not accept a gold card. Mm. You go to the bank and ask to open a bank account, they will not accept gold card.
Yeah.
It's got to be a driver's license or a passport or something like that. So we want the gold card to be an official, and that's one of our big ears at the moment.
But the gold card is another thing that's under-marketed as well. You know,
of course it is.
Unless you present it, majority of businesses won't say, have you got a gold card? Because they're not having to give that discount if they
don't. I always present mine, don't you?
No.
I do. You always show it. And you go to coffee shops, sometimes they'll give it to you because you brought it out, you know?
Yeah.
I always ask, you go to Mitre 10, you bring your gold card out.
Only some Mitre 10s.
Yes, that's right, it's only some, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the, now retirement villages is a big issue and a growing area. Does Grey Power have a stance on that?
Yes, we do. We have a regular meeting with the association. The guy's name has gone out of my mind. Our treasurer is the expert on that. He's Roy Reed, and he visits them on a regular basis, and take the complaints that we get from our members to them.
Okay.
And we get a lot of complaints of them. But that's what our advocates do too. Instead of going, you know, they'll take them and say, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And because we've got a little bit of kudos and a bit of understanding, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. We also look for discounts for our members, like cheap electricity, cheap insurance and that sort of thing as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Does Grey Power have any links with senior citizens?
Yes, we have our office there.
Apart from that, though, they're two separate organisations, but do you work together?
Oh, yes, right. very closely together. Singer Sits is a brilliant organisation here and there. Mm. In fact, one of the ones, a lady came to sent to us, she was lonely, quite a long, sad story, but we got her into the Singer Sits. Now she plays 500 and she plays bowls and she does all those things because we be able to work with Singer Sits, you know.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So definitely, and of course Age Friendly is the other one, we're very involved with that. Age Friendly is quite a brilliant organisation that's going, and the minister is pushing it in a big way, because it takes different organisations working with older people and networks them together where they can help each other. Like if you take someone with Alzheimer's, there might be something there that Grey Power can help them with. Or somebody with some of the church groups and they can't do something, well, maybe Senior Sits can help them.
Mm.
And we don't take over each other's work, but we network among ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do we need all of these different organisations? Why don't we just have one umbrella?
Good question. Who would it be?
Well, sure, but if you're talking to each other, you know, you're somewhere, somebody's got to sit around the table and say, hey, rather than duplicate resources, let's pool them.
Well, we don't really duplicate resources. Like, for example, Grey Power has their office within Singer Sits. We don't do anything that what Age Concern does. But anyone comes to us who needs the help of Age Concern, we'll give them to Age Concern. And the same if Age Concern needs an advocate, they don't do the advocacy, they send them to us. But you see, like, Age Concern can't do advocacy because they get funded by government.
Hmm.
And what you don't bash the person across the head that they fund you, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what we can do that because we don't get any funding from them. They can't say, we'll take your money away from us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we don't get any.
But we're down now to our last couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Age concern.
Yes.
You were saying that there's issues of elder abuse, but in general, in the broad spectrum, what are the range of things that age concern's involved in?
Age concern, just me. They have driver training. These are just the ones I still know about.
Yeah, sure.
Driver training, they do that, and they're very successful at that. They have visiting services for people who are lonely on their own. They have regular visitors that go in on a voluntary basis to visit people. Elder abuse, of course, is the biggie because it's a massive problem.
Hmm.
And people don't, so many people do not understand.
Is that physical, financial, emotional?
Everything. For example, what happens when your daughter comes in and takes your bank card and gets the number and just goes and helps herself to their money, your money? No one's going to complain to to get help from them. It could be physical, where recently a couple had their grandfather who had Alzheimer's chained to a chair.
Mm.
You know, that's elder abuse.
So you've got means to intervene and...
Age concern has with the police.
Okay.
They work with the police on that. It's actually a crime. Elder abuse is a crime.
Yeah.
You know...
And it's common?
It's more common than we think about.
Yeah.
And it's usually within a family.
Yeah.
It's usually a family member abusing another family member. And it's quite bad.
Mm. Yeah.
And especially as the older person gets weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
You know, the family can take more and more advantage of them.
Okay. And your involvement in this sort of thing actually takes up a lot of your time, despite you being in your 70s now, Lou.
Yeah.
You're still very dedicated.
I'm not just in the 70s anymore. I'm a politician as well, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.